Using Microsoft Word 2007. Microsoft Word is a very common word processor. Word processors are applications which allow you to compose letters and documents. It offers many, many features. Let's start up Word and see, or rather show, some of the more common features as they relate to WindowEyes. Word does not automatically come with your operating system. If you do not have Word installed, please still listen as the concepts can be applied in many other areas. On my system, I have Office 2007 installed. It is important that you are running Office 2000 or later, as earlier versions are not supported. Typically, with each release of Office, accessibility gets better, so it is recommended that you use either Office 2003 or 2007. Also, you should make sure that you have all of your Office updates installed. This is different than the Windows update. We have a separate tutorial on how to update your Microsoft Office products. You can go to www.gwmicro.com/support/tutorial for more information on how to update it. You can also go to www.gwmicro.com/support/office. While creating our enhanced support for Office, we found bugs that were Microsoft bugs. We let Microsoft know this, and as a result, they have released fixes for these. So it's very important you get these updates. Let's go ahead and start Word. I'm going to press the Windows key to open the Start menu under Vista. Then I'm going to type Word and press Enter. Word will automatically open. Note there are many ways to start Word. So let's go ahead. I'm going to do the Windows key to bring the Start menu.
Start menu. Start
and,
search.
And type
box.
In Word.
WOFD. Microsoft Office Word 2007.
Vista Program Start
group
menu.
1 of 17.
Found it. So I'm going to hit Enter to start Word.
Microsoft Word. Section 1 of 1. Style normal. Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Print layout. Document 1.
Lots of information there, but very rich information. Remember that this tutorial is not meant by any means to show you how to use Word. Instead, it's showing you how WindowEyes is keeping up with the features found in Word. If you require a tutorial on how to use Word, I suggest you contact GW Micro for a good tutorial. Let's type a little bit. I'm going to type some text in here so we can actually play with it a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and type in GW
space.
M-I-C-R-O space S-U-P-P-O-R-T space I-S space S-E-C-O-N-D space T-O space N-O-N-E period space space W-I-N-D-O-W dash E-Y-E-S space I-S space A space G-R-E-A-T space P-R-O-D-U-C-T period. So GW Micro is second to none. WindowEyes is a great product. Let me type a little bit more. Let's see. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Okay, so now we've got some text to work with here. We already talked about how to read relative to the cursor, but with inside Word, we can do Control Home to go to the beginning of the document.
Top of document. GW Micro support is second to none. WindowEyes is a great product. Mary had a little lamb, it's fleece.
And I can hit Control N to go to the end.
End of document. Was white as snow.
So by default, WindowEyes is going to read the new line that the cursor moves on. Very easy navigation. I can, of course, use the arrow keys to move left and right through the text.
Period.
I'm just going left.
W-O-N.
Okay. I can use Control Shift Page Up and Control Shift Page Down to move by sentence. I can do Control Left and Right Arrow to move by word. I can do my Control Shift R to do read to end. All of this we talked about in reading relative to the cursor in that tutorial section. Again, we talked about the numpad plus to be able to read relative to the cursor position and all of those keystrokes that you're used to. But inside Word, let me do Control Home again to go to the top.
Top of document. GW Micro support is second.
I'll silence that. But if I want to make a selection of something, I want to select some text because I want to either modify it, I want to delete it, I want to do something to that text. Let me Control Right Arrow to get to the word micro.
Micro.
And if I do Control Shift Right Arrow, which normally Control Right Arrow would move me by word, well, Control Shift will move me by word, but it will also select the word. So let me do Control Shift Right Arrow.
Micro selected.
So it tells me that that text is selected. Now I could do anything. Now that it's selected, if I were to type something, it would be replaced with what I type. If I change the font, it would then just affect the selected text. If I want to hear what's currently selected again, I can do Control-Shift-M, which read marked text It's a Windowize hotkey. So Control-Shift-M.
Micro.
Just tells me that micro is selected. And again, I can continue on and select more words by doing Control-Shift-Right again.
Support selected.
If I do Control-Shift-M, I hear both words now.
Micro support.
Micro support. So those are currently selected. If I wanted to do something to this text, I could bold it. I could do Control-B, which is a word command.
B, bold on.
So it tells me bold on. So I've just bolded micro support. The rest of the text is not has been bolded. And I can do more things. I can shift down arrow to select more text. But the key is that WindowWise will be right there with you, telling you what's selected, what's not. If I do a shift left arrow, it will deselect one character.
Space unselected.
Again, shift left arrow.
T unselected.
If I do control shift left arrow.
Supper unselected.
Supper, because I already had the T unselected. So it's just telling me what I'm adding and taking away from my selection. And again, I can always do control shift M to hear what it is again. Now, once you have a selection, if you want to get rid of that selection, you can just tap the arrow key, as I just did, and it removes the selection. Control-Shift-M will verify that.
No text selected.
Says there is no text selected. So that's one way you can select text, and that's actually very common between your applications. So whether I was in Notepad or WordPad, Word, this Control-Shift mechanism works to be able to select text. But Word gives you a more powerful way also of being able to do selections, and that's called the extended selection. Word has the F8 keystroke. If you just tap F8, let's hear what happens.
Extended selection on.
It says extended selection on. Now it's basically kind of like a sticking shift key right down. If I just hit the right arrow key one time.
S selected.
It says S selected. If I do control right arrow.
Upward selected.
Upward selected, because I already had the S and I just took the rest of the word. So when you go into the extended selection, it's kind of like holding down the the shift key and just holding it down. Let me tap F8 again.
GW micro selected is second to none. Selected.
It took the sentence. If I hit it again.
WindowWise is a great product. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow.
It selected. Takes the current paragraph. So there are different presses of the F8 key that you can actually do. So the second press of F8 will select the current word. The third press will select the entire sentence. And it will keep selecting more and more as you go on through that. If you want to get out of the extended selection. Now again, I have all my text selected and I could verify that with Control-Shift-M.
GW micro support is second to none. WindowWise is a great product. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow.
Okay. If I want to get out of this extended selection, I can hit the escape key. Let's hear what happens.
Extended selection off.
Again, that's part of Word. F8, escape, that's part of Word. I still have my selection, though, and I could do whatever I wanted to with it. Or I could just hit the right arrow key, and it removes the selection. Again, I could verify with Control-Shift-M.
No text selected.
So that's some quick navigation of how to navigate, read, how to select some text using the extended selection. Once we have selection, we saw that we could easily bold the text or change some text and the things like that. Let me go back up to the top of the document again with Control-Home.
Top of document. Micro support.
Let me do Control-Right-Arrow to get to the second word, which we know is bolded.
Micro.
We have another WindowWise command, which is the element properties. If you press Insert E, let me hold down the Insert key and tap the E key.
OK. Button. Dialogue. Character formatting. Attributes colon bold. Size colon 11 points. Font name colon Calibri. Style colon normal. Line spacing colon 1.1 lines. Paragraph colon align left. Default. OK. Button.
Wherever the cursor is at the time you do the Insert E or element properties, it will bring up information relative to what's currently there. In my case, there was text, and it told me the attribute was bolded. It told me the size was 11 point. It told me the font name. It told me the style was normal. It told me line spacing was 1.1 lines. It told me the paragraph was aligned left. If it was centered, it would have told me that. The more information that you have in here, the more it would display if that was actually there to tell you that. So this is a great way also to be able to get very specific information about where the current cursor position is. If you're just curious about what's really going on at this character position, Insert E is a great way to give you all of that element property information. Let me hit Escape to get out of this dialog.
Style normal. Page
you can also, at any point, if you're sitting at a particular character and you just want to know the Unicode value for this character, or you want to know the attributes values of this, you can hold Control Numpad Delete. So if I hold the Control key down, hit the Delete key on the numeric keypad, I'll hear
Unicode 4D, Calibri 11 point bold, black on white, cursor.
So it told me Unicode 4D, because that's a capital M, and it told me the attribute information. It told me the font information. It told me the size and all of that business that's there, and the color that was there as well. Windowize will give you the shading of colors that is here, or it can give you the actual specific RGB values if you're really into that. If I hit this keystroke again, let me hear that again.
Unicode 4D, caliber 11-point bolt. Black R0G0B0 on white R255G255B255.
So again, it told me it was black on white. These happen to be very specific colors, but I could have shaded them some other colors. And then it gave me the RGB values. White is just RGB of both all three 255s, and black is the value with none of those selected on there. So again, another quick way to be able to get font information, color information, Unicode information of the particular character that you're on. Now, I am using, as I mentioned, Office 2007. Microsoft took a drastic change in how it actually interacts with the user, starting with Office 2007. It used to be that there were menus and there were toolbar options and there were task panes and all sorts of different ways. As different versions of Microsoft came out, they seemed to create different ways of being able to give you information, but they kept the old ways and it almost became unmanageable to deal with all these panes that could come up and all these toolbars that were up there and trying to get between all the toolbars. It just wasn't very nice to deal with. And again, it's just kind of the growing pains where every release they'd add more and more and more and not really integrated into the way that it should be. So with 2007, they drastically separated off from that approach and tried to put everything up in what they're calling the ribbon. So instead of having dialog boxes that pop up or all these different toolbar options and things like that, they give you the ribbon. The ribbon is just visually showing you a lot of the information right up front, because one of the complaints Microsoft had was people didn't know where to find a feature. They would call Microsoft and say, Word really should have this feature. And they'd say, well, it's already there. You just got to go this menu, that button, this menu, this tab control, this level down. And, you know, 50 keystrokes later, you're actually at the option. So it's not really the user's fault. They didn't know that feature was there. It was just too complicated. So they built this ribbon up there. And Windowize was the first screener to actually support Office 2007. Microsoft was actually showing Windowize as they were demonstrating Office 2007 before it was released. And when it was released, Windowize was there with full support for it. We read this ribbon perfectly as you're navigating around with it, at least the best that Microsoft gave you keyboard navigability, if there's such a word, through that. So let's just get a feel for how this ribbon actually works. When I'm in the document area, I can just tap the Alt key one time. Let me do that.
Home, Alt H, 107, Tab Control.
So instead of going into a menu like you might expect, it actually took us to what's kind of called a tab control. It told us how many tab controls were there. It told us the shortcut was H. So I could have done an Alt H to get directly to the home tab control as well. But once I'm on these tab controls, I can arrow left and right through them. If I hit right arrow,
insert, Alt N, 2 of 7.
Again, the shortcut for it. Keep going right.
Page layout, Alt P, 3 of 7.
Again.
References, Alt S, 4 of 7.
Again.
Millings, Alt M, 5 of 7.
Again.
Review, Alt R, 6 of 7.
Again.
View, Alt W, 7 of 7.
Again.
Microsoft Office Word Help, F1, button.
The help. Again.
Office button, Alt F, grid drop down button.
The Office button is very similar to the file menu. Hit right again.
Home, Alt H, 1 of 7. Tab control.
And we're back to the 1 of 7, the home tab control, which is the default. Now, Word will remember which tab control you were on, so when you go back into the ribbon, it will actually retain where you were. But once you've selected the tab control that you want, in my case, let's just stick with home, I can then tab off of it. So let me hit tab key one time.
Clipboard group, paste, control E, split button, disabled.
Now, there's a lot of information on this home tab. Each time I change tabs, that information that's displayed up there changed. But in my case, under the home tab, I see a clipboard group, I see a font group, a paragraph group, a styles group, and an editing group. Within those groups, there are several controls within that. Now, we've just tabbed off of home, and it told us we went into the clipboard group, which is great. And it told us we were on the paste option, which is undefined, or rather disabled at the moment, because there's nothing to paste, which is why it's disabled. So I can continue to tab through all of these items. Let me tab again.
Cut, Alt H, X, Control X, button. Disabled.
Again, it's disabled because there's nothing to cut. I've not selected anything. And since it didn't say that I was in a different group, I can assume I'm still in the clipboard group. Let me tab again.
Copy. Alt H C. Control C. Button. Disabled.
Tab again.
Format Painter. Alt H F P. Control Shift C. Button.
Again.
Office Clipboard. Alt H F O. Button. Pull down dialog.
Again?
Font. Rich edit.
Told me I'm in the font combo box now. Hit enter again.
Font size. 11. Rich edit. Font group. Grow font. Alt H F G. Control. Button.
The font group as I go across, and I can continue to tab through every element, and there's lots and lots of elements. The problem is you don't want to have to sit there and tab 500 times to get to what you want either. So Microsoft gave us a little bit of a shortcut where you can do a shift right and left arrow to go from group to group. So let me hit a shift right arrow.
Paragraph group. Bullets. Split button.
Shift right arrow again.
Styles group. Quick styles. Alt H L. Grid drop down button.
Shift right arrow again.
Editing group. Find. Control F. Split button. Dialogue.
So this is a quick way just to go to the group that you want. Then you can tab between the elements that you want. Now you can also left and right arrow through the items in the ribbon, but I don't recommend doing that because part of the problem is it's possible, let's say that you're on an element and you right arrow. Now if that option is not directly to the right, it will take you to the next thing that is to the right, which may be up above where you're at. And the problem is when you hit left, you now may be coming above the last item. So when you hit right, you would expect left to take you where you were last. It doesn't always do that, and I don't recommend that. So it's very possible you will skip options that are on the ribbon if you use the arrow keys to navigate. So I would suggest using shift left and right to get to the group you want, and then you can use the tab key to go within the group. Now, once you know these options, notice it was reading the shortcuts to you, you can actually just press those shortcuts to get there much, much quicker and just deal with it that way as you're doing with it. As a matter of fact, let's just show how the old font dialog used to be. I'm going to do shift left arrow to get back to the font group.
Style group. Quick style.
Again.
Paragraph
again.
Group. Font. Calibri body.
So I'm on
Rich
font.
Edit.
Let me tab until I get to the font button. Let me just tab real quickly so I can get there quickly. There's
Soup.
Lots of buttons here.
Font. Font. Alt H F N.
Alt H F N.
Dialog.
So that is actually the shortcut that I could press from the document area to quickly get to this particular dialog. But when I'm sitting here, I can just hit enter. And let me do that.
Font, font, F, body, edit box.
So it took me to the font dialog, and I'm in the font edit box here where I can actually select the particular font that I want to be able to type in. This is similar to the old versions of Office where you can bring up the font dialog. So some of those dialogs are still there, but you can also make a lot of these settings directly from the ribbon if you choose to do that. Okay. Again, I'm not going to go into all of the details of Office. This is not meant to teach you how to use Office. It's meant to show you that WindowEyes is keeping up with you as you're moving along within Office and works very, very nicely as you do that. There are some other tutorials that go in and talk more in depth about the ribbon, about Office in general, and how to use that. Let's see, what do we have next? We have the, let me go ahead and escape out of the font. Now, I could tab around this font dialog. I didn't actually show you that.
Font style, Y, regular. Edit box.
And I could arrow to the different options that I want and hit enter, and it would actually affect my settings that I want to deal with. But I'm going to hit escape out of this.
Document 1, Microsoft Word. Style normal. Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Print layout. Document 1.
I'm out of my font dialog, and I'm out of the ribbon. I'm now back into my document area as I'm going along in there. Let me just show you some quick things about the spell checker here. Let me go to the end of my document.
End of document.
I'm going to hit enter. Click. To start a fresh new line. And I'm going to type in a little sentence here that's going to have a purposely misspelled word. So I'm going to say I space W-O-L-D space L-I-K-E space T-O space G-O space I-N space B-E-W-E-E-N space T-H-E space T-R-E-E-S. I would like to go in between the trees. So let me read that current line with Control Numpad 5.
I would like to go in between the trees.
Okay, so there's obviously a misspelling in there. So let me go back up to the top of the document with Control
top
Home.
Top of document. GW Micro support is second to none.
I'll silence that. It keeps reading the first line up there. And a couple ways we can check the spelling. Let me just do the normal spelling that Word offers, which is going into the spell check dialog. Their shortcut for that is F7. I could also go to the ribbon and initiate this. But I'm going to hit F7.
Spelling subject verb agreement is suggestions. R-R-E.
So in this case, it said we have a subject-verb agreement error, and it said the word is was the word in question there, and it had a suggestion of R. So if I want to hear some of these options again, I can do Alt-W.
Subject-verb agreement is.
So it just said subject-verb agreement is. I can press Alt-R to rehear the suggestion.
Suggestions are R-E.
I can do Alt-S to hear the sentence that error was in.
WindowEyes is a great product.
WindowEyes is a great product. It didn't like that. It said WindowEyes are a great product. I'm not sure I agree with that one, Word. Sorry about that. So we can just ignore that if we want to, but that shows you how you can actually deal with this spell check dialog as you go on. So I'm going to say ignore that. Now I could tab until I got to the ignore once button, but I'm going to hit the shortcut, which is Alt-I.
I. Not in dictionary between. B-E-W-E-E-N. Suggestions between. B-E-T-W-E-E-N.
So here it told me that not in dictionary, between, and it spelled it B-E-W-E-E-N, and it said suggestions between B-E-T-W-E-E-N. So the spell check dialog just worked beautifully, telling me the misspelled word and spelling it, telling me the suggestion and spelling it as well. Works very, very nicely. So in my case here, I would say, yes, I do want to accept that. So I could either tab to the change button, or I could hit Alt-C to accept that.
C, document one Microsoft Word. Okay, button, dialog, Microsoft Office Word, blank. The spelling and grammar check is complete. Default. OK. Button.
So I'm going to hit Enter to accept the OK button. It's basically telling me the spell check is done.
Document 1 Microsoft.
And if I go back to the end of my document.
End of document.
And read the current line.
I would like to go in between the trees.
It actually spelled it correctly, as you can see. Let me show you another way that we can actually deal with this misspelled word. Let me go back
here.
I'm going to left arrow, control left arrow to get to between. Right arrow to get to the T and delete the T again.
W.
So it's now misspelled again. And visually, there's a feature within Word where you can have it monitor on the fly misspelled words or grammatical errors. And visually, they'll show misspelled words. There's like a little squiggly red line under the misspelled word. And if it's a grammar error, there'll be a green line under the word letting you know that there's an error. Now, this does take processing power to do that. So you may not want it on, especially if you've got large documents. And in fact, if you've got a really large document with lots of spelling or grammar errors, because maybe the context that Word thinks everything's misspelled, then it will basically say, I can't do it. I'm giving up and not doing it. But for normal documents, it typically works fine. So it's okay to leave this feature enabled. And the nice thing is if it is enabled, let me go back to the top, Control Home.
Top of document. GW
WindowEyes allows you to find quickly these squiggly red lines and squiggly green lines to be able to find quickly the misspelled or grammatical errors. And those keystrokes are, I can do an Alt colon and an Alt apostrophe. If you look on the, well, it's actually a semicolon, I guess you'd look at. And if I just do an Alt apostrophe, you can think of that as the next spelling or grammar error. And Alt semicolon is kind of like the previous. So I'm going to do Alt colon.
Spelling between.
It said spelling between and immediately moved my cursor to that misspelled word. Now, you might think, well, what good is that? Yes, it's misspelled, but I don't know how to spell it. What am I going to do? Or the F7 dialog actually gave you some good choices. The nice thing is once the cursor's on this misspelled word, you can bring up the Windows, or rather the Word context menu. This is just a Word thing here. All we did was help you get the cursor to the misspelled word. Once you're there, you can press the context menu key, which is typically on your keyboard on the right side of the spacebar. You typically have the Alt key, then you have the Windows key, and then you have the context key. Not all keyboards are the same. On mine, that's the way that it is. Or you can also always do Shift F10. So even if you don't have a context key or you're not sure where it is on your keyboard, you can hold down the Shift key and do an F10, and that brings up a context menu. Let me press that now.
Between, menu item.
So it said between. It's giving me suggestions of what the misspelled word is. Now, you still might say, well, that's fine, but I can't tell how that's spelled. Is it really what I want? You can do our Speak Summary hotkey, Control-Shift-S. Let me press that now.
Between.
Let me press it again.
B-E-T-W-E-E-N.
Let me press it again.
Bravo, Echo, Tango, Whiskey, Echo, Echo, November.
So that's probably the word that I want, but I could down arrow if it wasn't.
Bin.
And I could again do Control-Shift-S to hear the bin, or there's
Ignore G.
Ignore
all.
Ignore all. Basically the same options that were in F7, but I don't have to go to that dialog. So let me go back up to Between. And hit Enter,
Document one
and
Microsoft.
Boom, it's now changed the context in there. If I read the current line,
I would like to go in between the trees.
So again, I could do Alt semicolon to go back.
No errors.
It said there are no errors. I can do Alt apostrophe to go forward.
No errors.
There are no errors in this document left or rather above or below my cursor position. So I've corrected all the errors. So you can use the F7 dialog or you can use the Alt semicolon, Alt apostrophe to be able to go around. And just remember this auto-checking, the spelling and grammar checking within Word. If that option is disabled, then our Alt semicolon and Alt apostrophe features do not work. So you'd have to go into the F7 dialog at that point. We talked about the Speak Summary key, and when we were in a context menu, notice it just reread that current item. When we brought up the list of suggested words, I did Control-Shift-S and it spelled that word. But now that I'm back in my document, let me press that and see what we hear.
Page 101, column 101, print layout, document 1.
So we got the page number, we got the column, we got the layout, document name. If they were in headers and footers, we would have heard that. So it's a great one keystroke that will just give you information about the document you're in relative to where you are. So it'll give you page numbers and all of that information. I'm going to go ahead and load in section one of the WindowEyes manual so we can have some more text to work with here. And I previously loaded it before, so I'm going to do Alt-F to bring up what used to be called the file menu here. And I'm going to hit 2, which happened to be my previously loaded document for section 1. I could have gone O for open and typed in the whole path and brought in section 1 of the WindowEyes menu, but let me just do a shortcut here.
2. Document 1 Microsoft Word. Section 1 Introducing WindowEyes. Alt-F 2. Menu item. Microsoft Word. Style plain text. Page 1 of 7. Column 1 of 1. Print layout. Section 1 Introducing WindowEyes.txt.
Okay, lots of information there again, but it was very simple to load this particular document in. What I'm going to do now is, again, I could read through this document. It's a text document, but I'm going to go down quickly and select one of the paragraphs down here. I'm just going down kind of quick, and I'm going to select by shift down arrowing through some of this text. I'm taking one of the paragraphs and selecting it. So I've selected one of the paragraphs, and I'm going to turn this into columns. Right now, everything is, it says text file, so there wasn't much formatting in this document. But I'm going to take this one paragraph and put it in two columns and show you how we can read that inside Word. So in order to do that, I need to go back up into the ribbon. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the Alt key to go into the ribbon.
Home. Alt H. 107.
And I'm going to hit right arrow key.
Insert. Alt N. 2 of 7.
That's the insert. I'm going to hit right arrow again.
Page layout. Alt P. 3 of 7.
The page layout tab is the tab that I want. So I'm going to tab off of that.
Themes group. Themes. Alt.
I'm going to silence that. I want to go to the page setup group. So I'm going to hit shift right arrow.
Page setup group. Margins. Alt P. M.
Tab again.
Orientation.
Tab again.
Size.
Tab again.
Columns. Alt P. J. List drop down button.
Alt P. J. So I could have just done Alt P. J. And boom, I would have been right on columns. But I just wanted to show you how we can navigate the ribbon to actually get there, too. Once I'm there, I can hit Enter.
1. Checked. Menu item.
So 1. Checked. So I really, basically, 1 is no columns. Hit down arrow again.
2. Unchecked.
Now, I could keep going down to 3, 4, 6, or set up a specific number of columns that I want. But I'm just going to be simple and make 2 columns. So I'm going to hit Enter.
Section 2 of 3. Page 1 of 7. Column 1 of 2. Print layout. Section 1 Introducing WindowEyes.txt.
I'm going to silence this, but notice it said column 1 of 2 because now I'm sitting there. I'm going to hit the left arrow
column key. Column 1 of 2. Style plain text. C.
Told me I'm on column 1 of 2. Now, if I read the current line here, let's hear what we hear.
Congratulations on your purchase.
Now, visually, I see congratulations on your purchase, which is what it read on the left column. And on the right, I heard advanced GW Micro has listened, which, of course, is taking off from the bottom of column 1. It's the top of column 2. You wouldn't want it to read across, and we don't read across there. So we do exactly as you would expect. But now if I just down arrow continuously through this, I'm just going to down. Down again.
Levels begin at 2.
That's the last line of the column 1. Now, what would you expect when I hit down arrow again from the bottom of column 1? I'm going to hit down arrow.
Column 1 of 1. Section 3 of 3. Blank.
Put me on a blank line. Instead of Word taking me where you think, to the top of column 2, it actually took me to the end of the columns. That's something I don't like about Word's navigation. And there are a lot of places where the arrow keys fall short of how you would expect to move through a document. Many examples I can give you where just up and down arrow keys do not take you through a document logically, or in some cases just totally skips, as it did here. It skipped column 2 of my text. So let me back arrow up back to the last line of column 1.
Column 1 of 2, section 2 of 3. All levels begin at 2.
Now, WindowEyes actually gives you the ability of moving logically through a Word document line by line by line. And in fact, if you were to do a read to end, that's the command that we use when you're inside Word. So you're guaranteed to get every line of text in your document when you do a read to end. And that's because we are using our built-in WindowEyes next line Word functionality, which Word, in my opinion, should have had to begin with. But they didn't have to worry about it because sighted users, of course, will just use the mouse and click wherever they want. They're not thinking of accessibility in this case from the keyboard. So let me now that I'm at the last line of column 1, if I hit down arrow again, it would not do what I want. So we give you two more keys. It's the Alt comma and Alt period. Alt comma will move you logically to the previous line, and Alt period will move you logically to the next line down. Now, it does require some processing to do this, to go off into Word and compute what the next lines are and things, which is why we typically just didn't make the up and down arrow keys call this functionality direct. So you really only need to use it when you know you need it. You're in columns or you're in tables or some other cases of where you've got multiple text frames within your document and you want to be able to go into a text frame, things like that. But let me hit Alt period now that I'm at the end of this column.
Advanced. GW Micro has listened.
It immediately took me to the top of column 2, exactly what you would expect. So Alt period and Alt comma are good keystrokes to know, especially when you're navigating through columns, text boxes from one text frame to the next text frame. You've got big these letters, how typically in magazine articles, the first letter is giant, and you read on, well, the down arrow key would skip all the lines that the giant character covered and all this business. So tables, logically, you can't easily move through with the arrow keys. This is a great way to be able to move through those documents in that approach. Some other things we have is great ways to be able to navigate tables. Tables are very common inside Word documents. Let me again load up a table document, a very simple example that I had. I'm going to do Alt-F, and I'm going to cheat again and very quickly just type in a document I previously loaded.
Section 1, producing window eyes, read-only Microsoft Word.
I'm going to silence that. So I loaded in a little sample that has a little table. I'm going to down arrow. Well, let's read the current line.
This is a test of a simple table.
And down arrow.
Table 1, 3 rows, 5 columns. R1, C1. Style table grid. Blank.
So it told me how many rows, how many columns. It read the cell contents. It read me that I'm in column 1, row 1 of my table and that type of thing. Now, again, if I just down arrow through this, I'm just going to go right through column 1. I'm not going to even see the other columns that are over there. That's, again, a bad thing, I think, that Word gives you with being able to navigate through a document. Now, I could tab through these items. I can hit tab, and that will take me to
R1, C2, January.
Tab again.
R1, C3. February.
Now, this will take me through all of the cells of my table. So you might think, well, that's a good way to move through. The problem is if I'm at the bottom right of my table and I hit tab, Word will introduce a new row and put you at the first column of that new row. So if you use tab, you'll think you're in the world's longest table because it never ends. Tab will just keep inserting new rows as you get to the bottom right of your table. So here again, you might think Alt period, Alt comma to go logically through the table the way you would expect to read a table. And that's exactly what would happen here. But we also give you some ways to be able to navigate this sort of like an Excel spreadsheet. You can use the insert key and the dedicated arrow keys. I'm going to use, hold the insert key down, and I'm going to do insert down arrow key.
R2, C3, 53.
R2, C3, so I went down. Now again?
R3, C3, 32.
R3, C3, so I'm going straight down. If I try that again?
Last row.
It says last row, won't let me do it. If I do insert up arrow now,
R2, C3,
I went
53.
Up. Again?
R1, C3, February.
Up again?
First row.
Can't go up. So I can use those four arrow keys to move like you would expect in an Excel spreadsheet. A great way to be able to move around that. Now, there's also lots of other keystrokes that I'm not going to necessarily demonstrate here, but I'll just kind of read through some of these. You can, to the first cell of a row, if you just want to go to the first cell of a row, you can do Control Insert left arrow key. To the last cell of a row, I can do Control Insert right arrow key. So basically, we're just adding control to this, and it instead of moving you one cell, it'll actually take you to the top or bottom or whatever of whatever element you're moving. To first cell of a column, you would expect Control Insert up arrow. To last cell of a column, Control Insert down arrow. Very quick way to get to all four directions of the row or column that you're in. To the top left cell, you can just do Insert Home. So if I do an Insert Home, I can press that.
R1, C1.
I'm immediately R1, C1. If I'm going to go to the bottom right cell, I can just do Insert End. So let me do Insert End.
R3, C5, 221.
And I'm sitting there. If I want to read the current row, I can just do Shift Insert Down Arrow. So if I do a Shift Insert Down Arrow.
2008, 34, 32, 32, 221.
If I want to read from row start, meaning from the beginning of the row to where I'm at, I can just do Shift Insert Left Arrow. A row to the end, I can do Shift Insert right arrow. First row cell, I can just do Shift Insert up arrow. I can read the entire column with Alt Insert down arrow. From the column start, Alt Insert left arrow. Column to end, I can do Alt Insert right arrow. First column cell, I can do Alt Insert up arrow. And current cell, I can do Insert Numpad Enter. So if I just want to hear the current cell again, I can just do Insert Numpad Enter.
R3 C5. 221.
If I want to read the column header that is of this particular cell, I can just do, to be able to read the first column rather that's up there, I can hit a keystroke to read that, and that is Alt Insert Up Arrow. So if I do an Alt Insert Up Arrow. Oops, dedicated up arrow.
April.
I hit the numpad up arrow, my goof. And if I want to hear then the first row column, I can just press Shift Insert up arrow.
2008.
So I can tell I'm in the 2008 row and I'm in the April column as I'm reading through this. So there's great navigability within tables within Microsoft Word. Also, roughly 30 or 40 fields Window Eyes can recognize. Pictures, objects, references, footnotes, endnotes, revisions, all of that business. Window Eyes can actually read that. Autocorrect, borders, shading, smart tags. Word can treat things like addresses differently. Window Eyes will tell you that. There's style sections. Window Eyes can tell you if you want to know all of this stuff within your document as you're reading along through that. We also have the page navigation key, Insert Tab. Let me go ahead and bring up the page navigation dialog. This is a very powerful command that can be done in a lot of applications. Inside Microsoft Word, I'm going to do Insert Tab, holding down the Insert key and pressing the Tab key.
Spelling errors. S. January. List box. 1 of 3. Dialog. 3 spelling errors.
Okay, it told me I had 3 spelling errors, but this dialog actually is a very powerful dialog. It offers many things that I can display inside relative to this particular document. Now, there are radio buttons that I can't tab to because they're disabled. Only the radio button options that are actually in this document would be enabled. But there are radio buttons called comments, hyperlinks, bookmarks, footnotes, endnotes, objects, revisions, form fields, spelling errors, grammatical errors. All of these options are things that I can tab to, assuming they were actually in my document. In my document, the only thing that's available are spelling errors, and that was selected by default because that was the first and only radio button that had an option. And then the list box populates with whatever I have selected. So if I had a document with comments, I could select the comment radio button, and it would show me all the comments in the edit box. I could hit enter, and it would jump me right down to those comments that are embedded within the document. Or if I have hyperlinks, I could show all of those, hit enter, and boom, I would be on those hyperlinks. Or bookmarks, footnotes, all of the things I talked about would be there. So let's just say I want to find
February, 2 of 3.
A down arrow to February, which was a misspelled word, and I want to actually put my cursor there. I can just hit enter at this point.
Table sample Microsoft Word. Table 1, 3 rows, 5 columns. R1, C3. Style table grid. Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Print layout. Table sample dot docs.
And it put me right on the February word, and I can verify that by reading the current word.
February.
If I wanted to, I could bring up the suggested spelling. I think what it's really complaining about is it's not capitalized. And just be able to deal with that in that respect. So the insert tab or the page navigation dialog gives me a very rich information of what's currently within my document. We already talked about the insert E, which is the element properties dialog. Again, depending on where I'm at, let's just press it here while I'm in a table. I'm going to do insert E.
Okay, button, dialog, character formatting, size colon 11 points, font name colon Calibri, style colon table grid, line spacing colon single, paragraph colon align left, cell borders outside single solid line 0.5 point yellow comma R255, G255B0. Table borders outside single solid line 0.5 point yellow comma R255, G255B0. Default. OK. Button.
So you can see there, depending because I was inside of a table, it gave me a lot of rich information regarding the table information as well. So no matter where I'm at, if I'm in a picture, I'm in some sort of text frame or whatever, all that information is going to be thrown at me inside the character formatting or the element properties dialog. I'm going to go ahead and escape out of that.
Table sample Microsoft Word.
I'm going to go ahead and get out of this particular table. So I'm going to do an Alt-F C to close. So Alt-F
F,
followed
new,
by C.
C. Table sample.
Those are just Word commands to quickly close that. I'm back inside of my section 1 now of the Window Eyes manual. And let me actually do some formatting changes here. I'm going to go
top
control home, down arrow to
the
a couple lines in here, and I'm gonna just do some things here. I don't want to tell you what I'm doing because I want you to listen to it a little bit later on. So I'm just kind of changing some of the text. Now let me read the line that I just played with. Let me down arrow.
This section of the Window Eyes manual provides you with the...
Now it sounds normal, right? Well, actually, there's some problems with that. If you had a Braille display, you'd pick it up right away. Basically, what I did was I indented the line, which might be good, but maybe not. And I also put some embedded spaces between a couple of the words in here, which just looks ugly. So if this were my resume and I were to go to print this off and give it to my boss or give it to my potential employer, I would be very embarrassed by what this looked like. So again, you can use a Braille display to pick up all these things, or you can turn on what we call Format Alert. If I do Control Alt Shift F, so I'm going to do Control Alt, Shift, and press F.
Format alert on.
Said format alert on. Now let me reread this current line again with Control Numpad 5.
One tap this section of five spaces the Window Eyes manual provides you with.
So it told me more about where it was. It said one tab because I tabbed over once. It told me that there were, I don't know how many spaces I put in between those words. And I can now fix that if I want to be able to do that. So it will let me know if lines are indented. It will let me know if I have more than one space within a line or I have a gap within a line, things like that. It will let me know. And so I could turn this on before I just read down through my document. I could turn on Format Alert, and I could then just do Control-Shift-R, and it would read and catch all of those gross errors that I would not want my potential error to see on my resume. And this is just a toggle, so I can do Control-Alt-Shift-F again to turn that back off.
Format Alert off.
Now, you can also deal with documents that have forms. Let's say you're filling out a form where it's got edit boxes to type in information, check boxes, radio buttons, things like that. Window Eyes will read those documents for you just as nicely as they would read a standard text. I can very easily fill out forms and things like that. Now, sometimes people that develop form documents might make them where they're not accessible, and that unfortunately is possible with inside Word. You can manually label fields. Let's say you've got a document that you're having to fill out all the time, but nobody actually documented them well, so that when you're tabbing, all you hear is edit box, edit box, edit box. It doesn't do you much good. You can manually label these controls with field names that you want to do. I'm not going to get into how you actually do that, but that is very possible to do that. The Window Eyes manual shows that. Window Eyes, or rather GW Micro, also offers a program where you can send us a form document that you're going to be using that you would like to be labeled, and we have a procedure where we can actually, for a fee, label all of these controls for you as well, so that once they're labeled, you can just load this document in and they'll just work nicely for you. So form controls work very nicely within that. Let's see what we haven't talked about here. Let's talk a little bit about some of the extra verbosity option that we've added to Window Eyes. So let's go ahead and press the Insert V key, which is our verbosity. And we're briefly going to go through the different verbosity options. There are many options for columns, fields, headers. There's just all sorts of things that I'm going to quickly go through. You may want to make Word more or less verbose, and you can do that through this particular dialog. To change the settings, you just use the arrow keys and navigate around. But let me go ahead and bring it up for you. I'm going to go ahead, while I'm inside Word, and I could go to verbosity from the Window Eyes menu if I were to increase the menu level. But I can also just press Insert V for verbosity. Let me do that now. Insert V.
Elements. Columns. List box. 1 of 10. Dialog. Verbosity settings.
There's actually two list boxes in here. One list box is labeled Groups, and it has the different verbosity options that we're going to talk about later on, but I'm going to specifically talk about the word verbosity here. And because we were inside Word when we pressed Insert V, Window Eyes picked that up, and it automatically selected the word group of verbosity. And then there's another list box over there called Elements. So within the word grouping, it breaks it up into several different element types. And in my case, I happen to be sitting inside of a column, and so it highlighted the column entry for me first. But there's lots of elements in here. So I'm sitting on the word group, I'm in the columns element, and now that if I tab off of that, I have an option that's called
Indicate Columns. Checkbox. Checked.
Remember how we said you were in column 1 of 2 when we put the column in there? It's because this verbosity option is checked. If you were to uncheck this, then we wouldn't tell you that there are columns there. Now, we'll still read it correctly, but we're not going to tell you you're in column 2 of 3 or 3 of 5 or whatever. We just will not give you that verbiage as you're reading on. Now, if I tab again, there's another option that says Indicate Columns Read to End. And we've kind of separated a lot of the verbosity from read to end, because if you're doing a read to end, you probably don't want to hear column 1 of through whatever it is you're reading. You just want to hear the text. And so during a read to end, we have it defaulting to not reading the column information. But when you're moving through a document outside of read to end, we will read it for you. Let me shift tab back to the element list box.
Elements, columns, list box, 1 of 10.
Let me arrow down to the next one.
Fields, 2 of 10.
Again, we can indicate fields within this document. So fields are like table of contents fields, date fields, edit box fields, things like that. We can tell you if those fields are there. If I tab off of this.
Indicate fields. Checkbox. Checked.
So it's because that checkbox is checked that we would tell you that. If I tab again.
Count. Checkbox. Checked.
Now this is count, so this means that when you arrow down to a line, not only will we indicate as your cursor moves to a field, but we'll tell you how many are on that particular line as you're down arrowing through it. So it'll tell you that there are 5 fields on this particular line, for instance. And there's a read to end count as well as you're going through that. Let me back tab again.
Indicate
again.
Elements. Field.
Let me down arrow.
List headers, footers. 3 of 10.
So the header footers element group allows many options. There's indicate headers. So as you're moving down through a page. If you move into a new header, it will tell you that. You can indicate headers on read to end. You can indicate footers. So as you change pages, do you want WindowEyes to automatically read the new footer to you? As you're in a read to end, do you want WindowEyes to automatically read the footer to you when you change pages? There's a radio button in here that says do not indicate page, or indicate current page only, or indicate current page and total. So by default, it's indicate current page. So as I move between pages, it'll say page 5, page 6, page 7. Now I could say page 5 of 20, page 6 of 20, page 7 of 20, or I could not say the page number at all. And again, an indicate page number during a read to end. So those are all within the header footer element types. Let me down arrow again under
miscellaneous, 4 of 10.
Miscellaneous is the next one. If I tab off of this, I would get indicate autocorrect. Word can autocorrect words for you, and visually it'll give you a little visual indication that it's autocorrected a word. Well, we can let you know that as well with speech, that a word has autocorrected. Indicate borders and shading. If you move into a different element group within your document that has some borders or shading, we can tell you that. We can indicate smart tags that Word can pop up on you. We can indicate style changes. We also have another under the miscellaneous called automatically dock toolbars. This really isn't relevant under Office 2007 because 2007 doesn't have toolbars. But prior to 2007, Word had these annoying little toolbars, sorry Microsoft, that could occasionally get undocked from being locked underneath the menu bar, and they would float around on the document. Now, sighted users may find this useful. They could take the mouse, they can drag those toolbars and put them wherever they want on their screen, typically keeping it away from their text because they can't read the text. Well, the problem is if a blind user gets these things undocked and they happen to be covering some of the text, then some of the WindowEyes functionality doesn't work properly because the text isn't visible. And so we automatically will dock toolbars because this checkbox is here. So if we ever see a toolbar that's floating around, then we will automatically dock it up there for you. It was a very difficult process to try to show a blind individual how they could dock it, because the only way to do it was to take the mouse and drag it up to the top. Very difficult process to be able to do that. So now it just happens automatically. And again, 2007 doesn't even have the toolbars. Let me down arrow again.
Pictures, objects.
Pictures and objects. So if I tab off of this, I'll get indicate pictures and objects, and of course indicate during read to end. This would let me know then as I'm arrowing through if there's a picture, and if there's some alt tag to the picture, we'll give you the description, or different objects. We can give you descriptions of all of that information as you're going along. Down arrow again.
References, 6 of 10.
References like endnotes and footnotes and things like that, we can indicate those references. We can tell you the count of those things in there. As you're moving down through the lines, we'll tell you if those are there. Down arrow again.
Revisions, 7 of 10.
Revisions is another element type. Within Word, you can have multiple people working on a document. It gets a little bit confusing when you have multiple people working on a document. As you make changes, Word can automatically sense, oh, Doug Joffrey made this change. Oh, Sam Jones made this change. They deleted this. You know, Sally Jane added this text or whatever. All of that is visually available to a sighted user, but it previously wasn't really accessible. Well, with WindowEyes, it's very accessible now. We can automatically tell you all these revision changes. We can give you as much verbiage as you want. Maybe you just want to know the change. Maybe you want to know the author of the change. You can set up all of this, how much you do and don't want to hear. So we have indicate revisions, which is typically unchecked by default. You can say indicate revision author, indicate revision date, or indicate the count that are on this. And of course, you can also have a count read to end. So as you're reading down through a document, we can tell you, there's a revision here. Oh, there's an insertion. There's a deletion. There's a change. There's a style change. Whatever, we can tell you all of that. And then we also have keystrokes that can take you from revision to revision. So I can just, you know, I get a new document from somebody. I want to know what's different. Visually, you just look at it and you can see. Well, now you can press keystrokes that will actually take you from revision to revision to revision. Very slick way to be able to work with multiple people on a document. Down arrow again.
Sections. 8 of 10.
Sections. If I tab off of this, it says indicate sections. Do I want to have WindowEyes tell me about section changes as I'm arrowing between them? Typically you do. We have it on by default. Down arrow again.
Spelling grammar. 9 of 10.
Spelling grammar is another group. If I were to tab off of this, you would see indicate spelling errors, indicate spelling count, indicate spelling count during read to end, indicate grammar errors, indicate grammar count read to end. All of these are unchecked by default. And you'll notice that if you had misspelled words and you were down arrowing, you wouldn't hear them. If you were to check these checkboxes and you down arrow, it would say 7 errors on this line. My documents would probably say 20 errors, misspelling errors on these documents. So it can give you that indication if you choose to hear that. If I down arrow again.
Tables, 10 of 10.
So tables, if I were to tab off of this, there's a checkbox that says indicate tables. So if I'm going down, it will tell me that I've just entered a table. Or I can say indicate tables during read to end or indicate table cell. So as you're moving around, do you want to hear the cell position or do you just want to hear the contents as you're moving around? This is the verbosity. So all of these things we talked about, this is just one small little section of the total windowized verbosity. This is the word verbosity section. You can go inside Word and make all of these changes and it will then retain all this information for you so that it will just work that way as you would expect. A very nice way to be able to customize Word to be able to speak the way that you want it to speak. I'm going to go ahead and hit escape out of the verbosity dialog, which will put me right back into my Word document.
Style plain text.
There's
page 107.
One more option column I'd like to show you inside Word
print
before
layout.
We move on.
Section one.
Sorry, I'll silence that. One more option I'd like to show you inside Word before we move on to the next section, and that's the application help. If I'm inside of Microsoft Word, I can do Control Shift question mark. Let me hit that. I'm holding Control Shift down and tapping the question mark.
Control information I. This is the document area of Word. Use the standard editing keys to enter a new document or edit an existing one. The following have been added to enhance the performance of Word. Press Ctrl Numpad plus to get the current cursor position. Press Ctrl Shift D to read the current document. Area being displayed on the screen. Press Insert E for the element.
I'm going to silence this. I'll let you read this on your own as a little homework to do there. But this is context-sensitive help. So whenever you're in an application, you can do Control Shift question mark. And if you're using some of our factory sets, you'll find that we've done this to some. We'd like to improve this and add more document-specific help to this. But inside Microsoft, you'll actually get this when it comes up, which is actually very, very nice. If I were inside the spell check, let me escape out of this. Let me run the spell checker here with F7.
Spelling and grammar subject.
I'm going to silence that because I don't care. It's got another grammatical error, and we don't have time to go through all my grammatical errors. So let's do Control Shift question mark here inside the spell check, and let's see what we get there.
Dialog information I. You are in the rich edit control, which allows you to correct the misspelling or grammatical error. You have full editing capabilities while in this control. You can press the following keys to hear more information. Alt W will read the error message along with the word or words in error. If it is a spelling error, the word will also be spelled. Alt R will read and spell the current.
And I'll silence that. We talked about some of those shortcuts, but this is a good way to be able to figure out what it is. Now, the nice thing of our context sensitive help is not only does it just give you help, but it also allows you to modify the help. Maybe I love this feature, but I can never remember it or whatever. And you just want to document it a little bit. You can actually come in here and you can actually change this text. So I can go inside of this text and I can maybe go to the end of it with Control End.
End of document.
It's just an edit box. And I can hit Enter and I can pipe in
Don't forget about blah.
So if I read that current line.
Also don't forget about blah.
That's inside my help now. That's at the end. Now I could replace the text that I had. I could add to the text. I could correct the text. Whatever I want to be able to do. And I could hit Enter and that will then be saved with that text that's in there. And this application help actually lets you go even further than that. When you store application help, you have the option of storing it for the application. You can store it for the current dialog, or you can store it for the current control that has focus. So the nice thing about that is that let's say you have a control in a dialog that you just want to document because you can never remember something about it. Well, you can go very specific and say this help should only pop up if this control is the focused control when I hit Control Shift question mark. So if when you first pop it up, the first thing we look for is there a control that has control-specific information for the one that's active? If there's not, then it says, okay, is there dialogue-specific help? And that's another option in the context help here is you can say, okay, my help is not relative to the current focused control. It's current to the active dialogue that's up when I type in this information. So if the control isn't there, it looks to see, well, okay, is there dialogue help for this particular dialogue? And if that doesn't exist, then it goes to the third level and says, okay, is there any application help? I don't care where I'm at in the application. Let me show you this help. So that way, if you're on a very specific control, you'll get that. If that's not there, then it'll go up to the dialog that you're in. And if that's not there, you'll get the application help. It's a great tool. You have control over being able to edit this help. And then we also have some generic help out of that. Let me just tab out of here.
Help applies to dialog. D, radio button, checked, 2 of 3.
So we defined this help to be applies to the dialogue. So when I was in the spell check dialogue, that's why it came up in that dialogue. So no matter where I'm at in the spell check dialogue, this help will be displayed. Doesn't matter what control in the dialogue has focus. Now I could have set individual help for each one of the controls inside of the spell check dialogue. But we just decided to have generic help regardless of where it is when you popped it up. But this is the radio button. You can say, okay, this text is really relative to the control, to the dialogue, or the application. If I tab again.
Generic control information G. A rich edit control is similar to an edit box in that it is a rectangle.
And I'm going
to
hit tab here. This is just generic help information for a particular type of control. If I hit control shift question mark on a button, there'll be generic information of how you interact with a button. Now, I could still have my specific application help for that button, but we also have the generic help. So you always have the generic help to back up on, but you can also get very specific with our context help, or you can put in your own context help and make this very, very valuable information to be able to work with an application, especially an app maybe that you don't work with a lot. You forget commands, you have no other ways to document them. Just slap them in the context help and boom, they're going to be there from then on. So let me escape out of the context help.
Subject verb agreement.
I'm still in spell check. I'm going to escape out of that.
Section one,
and I'm back to Word. But I think we've gone through a lot of Word. I know there's a lot to Word that we haven't talked about, and I apologize for that. We don't really want to teach you Word here. We just want to show you how WindowEyes is keeping up with Word. Let me go ahead and Alt F4 out of Word.
Yes. Y. Button. Dialogue. Microsoft Office Word. Blank. Do you want to save the changes to Section 1 introducing WindowEyes?
It's asking me if I want to save the changes. I silenced it with Control. I'm going to say N for no.
N. Section 1 introducing WindowEyes read-only Microsoft Word. Document 1 Microsoft Word.
I'm going to silence that. It took me back to another one, so I'm going to Alt F4 out of that one.
Dialogue.
Saying, Microsoft. Do you want to save? I'm going to say no.
And Document 1 Microsoft Word. Desktop. Adobe Reader 8. List view.
And I'll silence that, and I'm back to the desktop. So let's go on to the next section.